It's a story this morning for the children, also for the adults. So bear with me. But it's a true story about a group of people they wanted to build in the 18th century a road in Thailand, Bangkok, Thailand, through that city. And as they were busy planning the route, they discovered there's a monastery, Buddhist monastery, in the middle of that town. And the route would, or the road had to go through right through the middle of that. And so they had to move that. So they got cranes in and they started moving the monastery's little, or the temple, bits by bits. But also, there was a Buddha statue of 11 feet high. And as they started lifting up this, it was from clay, made of clay, and as they were lifting up this Buddha statue, it started cracking the clay and crumbling. And they were so careful because it's been there for many, many years. It's worth thousands of dollars. And they were so afraid that this thing is going to break now that they're moving it. So they tried to move it so carefully, put it down again and try again. But the more they tried, the more it was cracking. Eventually, the clay started falling off and started falling apart. And then they realized that that Buddha statue was made of gold. That's a true story. Today it's worth millions, I want to say. Not billions, maybe. Millions, and people visit that place just to understand or to listen to the story of how this thing happened. For years, people were worshipping that thing that they thought is precious, that is valuable, made of clay, until this happened and they realized it's actually gold. But isn't that true so often in life that we think we see the full picture and we know the full thing and we walk in that direction and then suddenly we realize there's more to the story. And I want to invite you this morning to journey with me on this journey from sight to vision, because I believe God wants to say something. We had such a blessed service this morning, the first service. But there's something here, I believe, for all of us. And I trust that you will be uncomfortable after this morning. In a true sense, if you're not comfortable, you'll have to come back till you're uncomfortable, because that's my aim, to make you uncomfortable. So now, just to bring you the truth. That's the truth. The truth confronts us, eh? The truth is supposed to make us uncomfortable. It's a story about a little girl. I've got three of them. I love them to bits. And they were on the ship, almost like the Titanic. We saw the movie Titanic. You know that scene where Kate is in the front of the ship? Who remembers that? We've seen that movie, Kate in the front. Okay, there's that famous scene. But almost like that, the little girl is on the deck of the ship, and she's standing there on the tip of her toes, and she says to her father, "Daddy, I can't see that far." So Dad picks her up, puts her on his shoulders, and then she said to her daddy, "Daddy, I can see further than where my eyes can look." Isn't that so beautiful in life? Sometimes God needs to pick us up a little bit just so that we can see a little bit further than where our eyes can look at it in life. See, sight is a function of the eyes. Vision is a function of the heart. There's a possibility that some of us sit here this morning with sight. Some of us sit here with vision. I want to invite you this morning, journey with me back to the Word, Mark 8, if you've got your Bibles here, as we're going to discover how Jesus led the man from receiving sight to a place of vision. From sight to vision. Mark 8, verse 22. And it's a beautiful story of a journey that's got so much for us here, so much truth here. Mark 8. Then when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him. Listen, they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" We'll just stop there for a moment. I'm just going to go back to verse 22. When they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. There's a couple of things I want you to we're going to study that scripture for a moment and just stand there. People brought a blind man to Jesus. Can I just stand still at that word blind and make a statement here? Either, and there's one thing all of us have in common this morning, all of us were born blind. Either you are still blind or you receive sight. There's a possibility in this mixed audience this morning that some of us might sit here already having received our sight. Some of us are still touching in darkness, trying to make sense of this world, of things. None of us can sit here this morning and say, I could see from the start. We all started at that place. We all had one thing in common this morning. We were all born blind, spiritually speaking, this morning. But there's nothing. There's something more this morning to that story. I want you to notice that they brought him, a blind man, to Jesus, and they begged him. You know, when I saw that, I realized immediately, and I couldn't help to reflect upon my own life, about the they and the them and the people in my life that led me to that encounter with Christ. I want you to notice that the blind man didn't receive his healing on his own. That God already, in this story, gives us a principle here. Some of the beauty of the church, some of the beauty of society, of everything out there, of family, that there should be a them, there should be a us, there should be a we. And I think about my own life, how it started, the journey, and I become sometimes emotional. This morning, I just reminded, and for a moment, you know, simple things like aftershave, this, or the smell of it. From one moment this morning, I was smelling it, I thought about my grandfather. But then the memories goes back further. How they sowed into my life. How they were the days that started that journey. Even before my parents. There were people in your life probably. If you're sitting here this morning saying, I've received sight. That you can go back and reflect upon that and know for a fact. There were people in your life that took you by hand and led you to an environment where Jesus can touch you. And I want you to thank God. You know, I thank God. The Bible says that those people, some of them moved on, some are maybe still here with us. But those that moved on, they sit in the auditorium of the heavenly witnesses doing this. You can do it. You can do it. It's all they do. They're just praying and say, just keep on. Just keep on. You've started. Just keep on running. Keep on running. Because all we do, we are in a marathon running on earth here for a certain amount of time. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't know, you feel alone, you feel like, well, I haven't got such people in my life. I want to say to you, look around you. God has placed you amongst people that want to run with you. There's such a great principle that's being revealed here that God says to us, you cannot make it on your own. This journey is meant for you and somebody else. There are people, you need people in your life that would journey with you, that would take you by hand and say, you need to get to that place, we need to. Isn't it beautiful that this translation talks about begging? They beg Jesus, not that man, they beg Jesus. When you stand in the gap for others, what do you pour out? When you pour out your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, just touch them, just touch them, just touch them. Have you got your hand? Or maybe you shouldn't run ahead. But I want to say this morning, for that man to receive his healing, there had to be people around him. But not just people. There had to be something on his side that had to be established or that need to be present. Called the word trust. Can you imagine if there was just a bunch of people around him but he didn't trust them? He would have not allowed them to lead him to that place of encountering Christ. And to me, it speaks to us, to me this morning, us making sure, Lord, that I'm building the trust of the people that you have assigned to me, to make sure that they trust me, because I have to lead them to that place of continuously encountering you. But at the same time, there's a message to me as well this morning of, am I trusting those that are leading me? And I want to say to you this morning, and I say it with so much respect, continuously we have to check our hearts, Because trust is that issue that the enemy wants to break down in our hearts. Because the moment I do not trust my wife, the moment I do not trust my brother or sister, my leadership, and we can carry on in all different angles. If there's no trust, then it's such a difficult thing to establish, but we'll have to work on that. And sometimes we'll have to forgive. But the thing is, if we're not working on that, we'll stop short of our miracle. And that man could have stopped short of his miracle if he didn't trust the people that he was journeying with. And I feel to say to some of us here this morning, maybe that's the reason why you're not getting a breakthrough. Maybe that's the reason why you're sitting where you're sitting, because you are not trusting people. You're continuously questioning people's agenda, intentions. And the only way are you going to reach that place where you can encounter Christ is to learn to trust again. And I know it's not easy. I know people and are disappointing us. Can I just say to you for one moment, the reality in church and the reality in family is that somewhere somebody is going to disappoint you. Somewhere trust is going to be broken. That's just a given. I wish we can just go through life and just are so uncomplicated and nobody disappoints us and we all love one another. We all love Jesus and nobody steps out of the way and nobody does the wrong thing. I wish it was like that. Sometimes I just want to go back and wipe everything. Say, God, can we just do a simplified version of this all? And the moment we have people together, the moment we have different people together, it just becomes so complex. And every one of us think we are right. And it's just so difficult sometimes. But guess what? God still chose that way. As imperfect as it can be, as imperfect as I am at this moment, we have to learn to trust people to take us to that place. You have people around you at this given time that wants to take you on that journey. Where you are in a relationship with that people, trust that people if you see that their hearts are turned towards God on that condition this morning. If they say in their confession, we have to take people on their confession. If they say, I love Christ and I want to follow Christ and they want to take you with Him, trust them. See, life is not meant to live alone, share my own secrets, or live in secret somewhere in the dark and I fight for myself and it's just me. Life is meant to share together, to cry together. I always want to say be disappointed together sometimes. But also to have victory. And when you have a victory, it's my victory. And when you have pain, it's my pain. Because that is the beauty, because we journey together. See, at any given time, all of us, every Christian, if you're not a Christian, you're no excuse of that. But if you're here this morning, you say to me, Yaku, I love Christ and I'm a follower of Christ. There should be two things present in your life. Can I take your hand, Patiki? Whose hand are you taking that you are leading to Christ? That you are discipling? See, we like to do this. Can I just lift up your hand, arm a little bit higher? We want to do that. Can you give me your finger, any finger. Lord, I just want to give you that one. Your relationship or discipleship is as strong as to the intensity, or I want to say to the degree that you open up your hands to God. Would agree with me that is not such a strong grip as this. Sometimes we want to do the right thing. We know the right thing is that we need somebody. We will give them just a finger. We don't allow them to go that deep. And the moment when it's strong, when the tough times comes, we let go of that. Thank you. You need somebody. You need to take somebody's hand and pull them and lead them to that encounter with Christ and to disciple them and to hold their hand and say, you're not going to go that direction. I'm not going to let go of you. You're not, because you know what? The flesh wants to go in a different direction, but the spirit is going in another direction. And if you haven't got somebody's hand or leading him, you're not busy discipling people. You're not in a... You're in actually, and myself included this morning, in disobedience, I'm going to say that. If we're not discipling, if we're not holding hands with somebody else, taking them, sometimes grabbing them to church or to cell group or to some place where they can just encounter, oh, I can't wait, so then just get them to the church. I'll promise them anything. I won't tell you. This is a beautiful story, but these children here, I can't tell you. It's about a woman that did something to her husband, but you can... Anyway, let's stop there. She made so many promises and it got into Christ. But sometimes we want to pull and we do anything possible just to get them in the presence. I'm asking you this morning, whose hand are you holding? And the second thing that all of us need to have or need to be present in our life is we need to hold the hand of somebody else. Kind of maybe use it by this way, demonstration of this. As I'm pulling somebody else, as I'm discipling, as I'm, or that person is accountable to me, I'm also accountable to somebody else. Because I'm just saying to you this morning, I'm just the middle of the chain. I'm just another one, just another link in this chain. I'm not the top. I'm not on the top of the food chain. I need somebody else to pull me in that sense. I need somebody that I'm accountable to. I need somebody that sometimes will pull me in a direction and say, you should go in this direction now. Someone at a time, we will have a decision to go either in this direction, that direction. If you haven't got somebody else's hand in you or you are not accountable, chances are good that you'll make a wrong decision. And then we sometimes go around that like the people of Israel. We do the mountain route. The scenic route. We'll just go and discover ourselves. Lord Jesus, help me. Bless me. I'm going in this direction. And the Lord gave me a word and the Lord said, and if we are in the church, we become very spiritual about that as well. The Lord, Lord, Lord. And then we did end up in a wrong place. And then the Lord says, whose hand did you leave? Not God's hand. Not God's hand. It was people here. I think God on purpose chose that to help us to stay humble. You know, when people become religious, they start saying to you, no, I only listen to God. I only do what God says. You ask them, where are the people in your life that would speak into your life, would tell you, yes, man, I think you should do. When people tell you they only do what God says, and I'm not saying we should, I'm just saying when there are no people present, that's just the religious spirit manifesting in your life. We all need people, I want to say, apart from God, with all due respect, that will hold our hand firmly, tightly, that we open our hands willingly and saying to them, here's my hand. Pull me if you need to pull me. I give you permission. If you're sitting here this morning, you are not holding the hand of somebody else that's busy discipling you in disobedience. If you're not doing that to somebody else, you're in disobedience, myself included this morning. That's as easy as it can be, the gospel of Christ. But they took this man to an encounter with Christ that changed his life. But I want you to see, the moment Christ touched him, there's something that took place. Of course, he could see, but that speaks to me of our own life, spiritually as well this morning. Every time we come to Christ, every time somebody confesses that they've met Christ, there's one thing that should be the common denominator in all of those encounters, called the word change. You cannot claim to have come to Christ and there's no change in your life. If you say to me that I've met Christ, but there's no change present or visible in your life, hello, I think you've not met Christ. I'd rather offend you right now with that. And you can be angry at me, and you can come afterwards and throw me with stuff and tell me, I'll tell you what, probably the chances are good that you've met the religion, you've met a form of religion, you've met something or lived up to some expectations of man, or your parents, or somebody else. If you met Christ, and you had a real encounter of Christ, you cannot be the same. That is who Christ is. He confronts us with the truth. Suddenly, you look into the mirror, and you realize, oh man, I've got trouble. I need to change, unless I change. You know what? How many times the Bible talks in the New Testament? Listen to me, that's just some interesting information. In the New Testament, he's talking about judgment. Okay, now we're talking about judgment in hell. It's going bad now this morning. Pray for me. 27 books in the New Testament. Just that part, the second part of the Bible. 364 times the Bible talks about judgment. I want you to imagine this. You're driving out here to the, 27 kilometers. For 27 kilometers, you're going in the direction of Windhoek. You find 364 signposts or being signposted, turn around, there's danger ahead, turn around. Would you continue in that journey, on that road? Everybody would agree this morning, you're stupid. After 364 times, well, after the... And still, we are like that as human beings. We know better. God, I know better. I'm okay. I'm not going to take hands. I'll find my way. But friends, as this man was discovering or was trusting people and trusting those that were leading him, God changed his life. Look at that next scripture here. Let me just find my place again. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then spitting on the man's eyes, immediately a new ministry was started. He laid his hands on him. You didn't see that. I'm going to say that again. Some of us, we start a new ministry when Jesus spat there. But that's not what Jesus said there. He's just saying to us, the method is irrelevant this morning. But look what happened before that. I'm going to read it again. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything? Why did Jesus lead him out of the environment? Oh man, come, Jesus healed him inside the city. He's got the ability. Why would Jesus, after the people brought him to him, take him by a hand and lead him out of that environment? You know what? There's a powerful truth. Sometimes for God to move in your life, you need to come out of that environment, out of the known, out of the norm, out of the comfortable, outside the place of the opinions of mankind. Because if we allow, or we allow ourselves to stay in that environment, it will nullify the power of God in your life. That's why a weekend like last weekend is such a powerful weekend. Because that it's built around that principle. Getting you out of your environment, separate yourself, focusing completely on God, and miracles happen like that. I can't tell you how many things happened last weekend. Same as we're going to do with NAM Worship. The same as we're going to do with Awaken. People ask me, why should I go to this event, God? Well, just because of this principle. Sometimes God needs to take you out of that environment. I was talking to men on Friday night. They said to me, you know what? This men's camp, this past men's camp, I didn't want to go. You know what? It's actually the most blessed men's camp for myself, the guy said, ever. And I've been to four of them. Why? Because God had a specific plan and purpose. And he knew how to get you out of your environment. Sometimes when we come to Christ, we need to come to Christ. God needs to take you out of that environment of friends, out of that circle of influence, out of that place where other people want to nullify the word and the power of God in your life. Mark 7:13 that says, you're nullifying the word of God through the traditions that you're handing down. In order for us to move, we'll allow or to encounter Christ, we'll have to allow Christ to lead us outside our environments. Where are you comfortable this morning, my friend? See, blind people, they become comfortable in the environment, with all due respect towards blind people, because they know the environment, they study the environment, they know there's a step here, they know there's a chair here, and I'm comfortable in this place. We're all comfortable in the as we are born blind, because I love the known. I love to be in control. For you to get sight, to receive your sight, you'll have to allow Christ to lead you outside that environment. Break relationship, for some it might be. How sad it can be. Because it will influence you. It will pull you back. We had a guy just recently in Windhoek that's been, and the pastor says to me, you know what, I can see he's so on fire. He's so on fire with God till he got involved in this relationship. And now he's questioning things that he used to do, like the baptism. Hello, can't you see that there's something wrong here? But for this man to receive his healing, apart from trust, there had to be another aspect that had to be present called faith. We would never receive these things, our miracles or our breakthrough, our encounter, our sight, unless we have faith that Christ can do that. And faith in that situation. Sometimes, and that is what it takes, faith in the unknown. Imagine for a moment, this man, this blind man, allows his friends just to take his hands. Now he trusts them. So they're leading him to an unknown place. Maybe we should just close our eyes and think about that. To an unknown place, to an encounter with an unknown man, trusting that this will be it. I don't know how many doctors he's seen. I don't know how many books he read. I don't know what he drank. I don't know what he tried. But he got to that place of utter desperation and faith and say, Lord, you are the only one that's got the answer. And until you run around, I want to say to you, all of due respect, your solution to your problem, to your miracle is not in Google. It's not in books. It's not in the medicine that you drink. It's not in the opinion of man. With all due respect to all those kind of things that God has given us the ability to be wise and to be stewards, it's vested in God and God alone. He's the origin of that all. He might use men, he might use us, praise God, but he's not under obligation to use us. We are just thankful that he uses us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, if he uses you. But our faith is in him this morning, that he's the one that will give you sight. And now you have to hang in there because there's deeper truth coming here. Amen. See, we become comfortable where we are. We get the spitting part. So clear your throats. Then spitting. And the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? Then the man looked around. Yes, he said. Listen to this. I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They looked like trees walking around. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Here's a moment what happened. The battery went flat of Jesus. Okay? What happened here? Jesus touched this man. Battery, all my power's gone now. Let me just recharge. No, I'm joking about that, but that's not the case. Why did Jesus touch this man twice? Have you ever thought about that? Why didn't he heal him this first time? Of course, he had the ability to touch him once. Of course, he could just walk into his presence. I mean, there are so many methods that Jesus healed people. Sometimes they would just touch him. Sometimes he would just speak a word. Sometimes he would do all of those kinds of things. But this time, Jesus touched that man and he asked him a question. You know what happened there? Jesus came to draw a line of separation between those that are hungry and those that are not hungry. Because here's the thing what happened. With the first touch, he went from being blind to receiving sight. All of us in this room needs that first touch from Christ to receive sight. I've discovered in my walk with Christ that many people are content there. Thank you, Jesus. See you later. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, I'll see you in 4 weeks. I'll see you in 6 weeks. I'll see you maybe there. You know what? That's a line of contentment. Some of us are content there right now. I've got my assurance policy. I've got my badge. I'm covered. Man, I'm going to heaven. And I believe Christ would have left that man there if he didn't say to Christ, I want to see more. Are you content where you are? Because if you're content, guess what? You'll stay there. Are you okay? If you think you're okay, you'll stay there. Until you realize that you are not okay, that I'm not okay, that I need to go back to him and say, Lord, I'm actually not okay. Can you touch me another time? Can you restore my sight? Because I thought I knew what it is, and I know and I understand. I speak to so many Christians. They think they've been around. Especially, I want to say that the danger is, especially when you grew up in an environment where you met Christ, you've seen it all, you bought the T-shirt, and now there's nothing new. I know the baptism and the Holy Spirit. Oh, the pastor's going to do it that way. They do church this way. Nothing new. I know it all. I'll see you next week. There's no power of Christ present in our lives because we're not coming back for that second touch. We're not continuously coming back, realizing that we need to be touched again continuously to grow with Christ, to receive, to change us from sight to vision. The first touch gave that man sight. The second touch gave that man vision. You see, with sight, we look at people and we see people. But listen to me. With a second touch, we receive vision and we look at people and we see souls. That's why it's possible to sit here this morning, to have differences of opinion, to feel different about certain things in the context of church, of the body, because I am content with my first touch, and I don't want more. We say that to Christ, actually. God, I don't want to go there. It's a bit uncomfortable, and I don't want to give there, and I don't want to give up myself, because it's uncomfortable, Lord, and I don't like that. And Christ says, that's fine. Then stay there. I'm not going to make you too uncomfortable. Maybe you hear the truth, but I'm not going to pick you up and move you there. Sometimes we need that friend. Now I can see why the friends are sometimes necessary to pull us there. I have testimonies, and I had so many testimonies, and I think about my own life, you know, that the testimony goes like this. I didn't want to go, but this friend begged me, and he pulled me almost there, and then thank God he pulled me there. Then I realized the truth. Thank God for those friends that are pulling you in life. Thank God for them. Are you pulling somebody to that place of a second touch? Are you content? You see, after the first touch, God leaves it to us to decide whether you want to carry on like that. Whether you're going to stay like that, whether you want to disciple, whether you want to be happy as you are. Nobody shakes your world. The other day, was it about a month ago, when we were praying, we were talking about the feet of Christ when we started that Sunday. You were in the other end of the service. I was preaching that service about the feet of Christ in the first service. And you know what? I pushed through that service talking about why should we share the gospel? Why should we go out? And then when it was the break and during the worship, I sat there at the back there and I said, Lord, I can't preach that sermon another time. I can't. It's against me. I just, how and why? And I changed the sermon. You got the other one. Okay. You didn't hear the first one. I sat there and said, Lord, why am I supposed to stand here? And if we all love you, if we all met you, now I have to convince people, you should go and tell people about Christ. It's difficult for me. And I speak to myself this morning. I want to say to us this morning, I'm not fighting with you. I'm just saying, if we had a real encounter with Christ, it's impossible to keep quiet. You don't need other people to convince you. Oh, please go and tell your friend. Man, please go and just make a plan just to reach that neighbor of yours or just whoever. Or just talk about that, what God is doing in your life. You don't necessarily have to convert that person, but just testify what God is doing. You know, I see people that just came from this men's camp. They've literally been to every event that we had this week. From, I want to say, cell group to encounter, one, well, name worship, where else can I sign up? Can I just go there as well? And it's just so beautiful. When we meet Christ, we want to do everything in our ability just to stay there, just to have this encounter, just to make sure we grab and get everything what we need to get. What happens along the way with us sometimes? When we become comfortable and we graduate, and now we lost our fire and our passion and our zeal. All I can say this morning is maybe we should just go back to his feet. Maybe we should just go back to that place and Lord, just restore me. Just touch me again. Because I cannot do that for myself. I cannot do it for you. But I know Christ can do that. To take me back to that place and say, Lord, touch my sight again. Because I look at people and see people. I see a burden. I see people asking me, oh, please help me. Lord, touch my eyes to see souls. We'll operate differently as a church the moment Christ touches our eyes and we move from sight to vision. Where we see there's such an opportunity here, Lord, where you want to change that. You know the beauty about a weekend like we just had and about a service when we had in this morning, several people just saying to Christ, Christ, here I am. I want to follow you. So many people responded. The beauty is that somewhere somebody saw that person. Somewhere somebody invited that person, saw potential when there was still no, I want to say, when nobody saw that. Can Christ help us to see that in one another as we journey together? One more scripture and then we're going to end. Let's read the last part of it. Verse 26 of 24, the man looked around. Yes, he said, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They looked like trees walking around. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. And now listen to this last point here. Jesus sent him away saying, this is important, don't go back into the village on your way home. Once you've met Christ, he will give you a specific instruction. And he normally goes back that way, normally goes like this, don't go back that way. Don't go back amongst that people. Don't sit in the same crowd again. And it not only applies to us coming to Christ for the first time, because that is obvious. When you come to Christ for the very first time, he's going to ask you not to go back. But more than that, what Christ is saying also to us here this morning, as we journey with him, as we follow him, he continues to reveal to us more and more and more truth. Once that has been revealed to you, there's a tick behind that. You know that now. You cannot go back the old way. Because Christ's truth is confronting us. You know what? All of us will stand before Christ. Believers will stand before Christ. And for one moment, we'll have a Peter moment. I believe it will be in a split second that Christ will look us into the eye. Suddenly, we will just see our whole life flashing before us. And I believe I won't have words. I often think about that because it won't be a place of darkness where I can just come with excuses and say, Lord, Lord, you don't understand. Lord, you see my heart. There won't be such a moment. I just think we'll just stand there. Yes, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm contemplating upon that often. And that's why I believe it's a good place to be at on earth already, at that place of honesty with God. Just forget about the fact that you can hide. He's aware of that. Rather, just come to a place of honesty. And we'll stand before Christ at that moment. And he said, well, I told you at that time, that is the truth. Why did you keep on hanging to that as child of God? According to what you and I know, we will be judged. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just saying to you, we are so privileged to know so much in this generation at this time. Our children will know even more. But with that comes a massive responsibility. We cannot say to Christ one day, oh, I didn't know about him. I didn't know about that. I didn't know that I should do that. Save yourself that excuse. Say that to myself this morning. It brings me to a place often when I come to that place of so much honesty with God and feeling of, Lord, I fall short. Lord, there's a problem here. I fall short. And Christ says, yes, it's fine. I want you to see that. So what now, Lord? No, I just want you to say, yes, I need you, Lord. It's fine. It's all I want from you. Here's my grace. Here's my grace, my child. It's going to pick you up. It's going to lift you up. It's going to enable you to conquer over that. Let's close our eyes. Recently, I read about a book that's busy being written. And the title of that book is about the two biggest mistakes that we make in life. It's written around that. The two biggest mistakes you can ever make in life. The first one is not beginning. And secondly, the second mistake is not finishing. While nobody is looking around, I want to give you the opportunity this morning to start your journey with Christ, to begin. Maybe somebody was influencing you. Maybe you experienced that somebody brought you here. Maybe you experienced that you were pulled here. I don't know. Maybe you experienced that the life and the situation is just getting so tough. It feels it's steering you in a specific direction. And maybe it's just Christ just trying to pull you to that place of encountering him. And while nobody's looking around, I just want you to meditate upon that. Maybe this is your day this morning. And Christ wants to touch your eyes and heal you from your blindness. And I just suggest to you that he's standing here this morning and saying to you and asking you this morning, do you want to receive your sight? That first touch, that first moment when everything becomes clear and say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I don't want to make excuses. I know it's invitation. I know that it's up to you this morning to decide for yourself whether you want. It's an invitation. It's a question. He's not commanding you to follow him. He's asking you, do you want to receive sight this morning? Nobody looking around. If that's you and say, Lord Jesus, I need to receive my sight. I need that first touch from you this morning. I need and I want to follow you where you are. Just to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you in a moment.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We remain in that place of prayer. I want to ask you if that's you, if you raise your hands, just slip out of your chair where you are, out of your seat. Just come to the front. Acknowledge that. We all acknowledge, just saying, Lord, here I am. I'm not shy about the decision. I'm not shy about asking you to give me sight this morning. I'm just bold. I'm just dependent upon you. I'm just humble. I'm just at that place when I say, Lord Jesus, I need that right now. Thank you, Jesus. I sense there's one more person battling with this, and I'm going to hold on here. I just sense God is just not giving me permission to pray yet. Thank you, Jesus. There's one more person. It's not that lady, we thank you, but it's not that lady. You can stay here. There's somebody else that's battling here with the Lord. We praise God for everyone standing here, but I'm going to hold. Because Jesus is waiting for you. Thank you, Jesus. It's not that one either. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's one more person. Holy Spirit still says to me, there's still one more person. I wish I could carry on, but he doesn't allow me. Can we just spread out here? Thank you, Jesus. Believers, pray with me. It's a moment of sight. It's a moment of encountering Christ. This is a separation. It's a place of separating. It's a place of walking away from the past. It's a place of entering into a new world. There's somebody specifically battling with that at this moment, whether you will be able to do that. But you just need to make that first step, Christ says. And there's so many people that spoke to you, so many people that encouraged you, but you are not certain. The people that brought you here, God says, trust me. I'm going to pray for these people, but I sense that person that I was talking about is not here in the front. So it's so difficult for you. I want to ask you at least just to phone me during this week or to come to me afterwards and say, you know what, I just couldn't get myself to that place. I don't know your future. I don't know your past. But I know God wants to give you a future. And I want to pray with you this morning. But Father, I thank you for every person that's standing here in the front this morning. Everyone that's saying, Lord Jesus, here I am. Give me sight. I want you to pray after me as you're standing here. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I realize I am blind. That I've been born blind. That I've been born in sin. That I'm about to be judged. But this morning, Father, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to restore my sight, to touch me. I repent of my sins and my ways that were separating myself from you. And Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning to receive the final offering, your life for me in exchange. Father, I thank you this morning, just stand closer, that you give sight to the blind, Lord Jesus. I speak to this soul of this, to the spirit of this lady, Lord, you will never, never, ever go back the same. She will not go back to that same place, Lord Jesus. You're instructing her, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. There is complete restoration of sight this morning, Lord. A deeper work than what I can even see and experience right now in Jesus' name. And Father says you can just break before him. Just break before him. Say, Lord, here I am. Father, We thank you that she can just break before you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we declare, Lord, that the old is gone and the new has come. Father, we thank you that the sun has come up, Lord, that this is a new day waiting, Lord, a new season waiting. Father, we thank you. I sense there's a wind of change that's taking place, and we thank you in Jesus' name, Father. The old is gone, the new has come. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Separation from the old. Father, we thank you for a unique calling. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for no more playing around in that mess, Lord. But we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the God that saves, Lord, that you separate, that you sanction, and that you commission, Lord. Commission her, Lord, for the thing that you have called her, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Well, Father, we thank you. We come against doubt. We come against the opinion of man. Father, we break that down in Jesus' name, Father. I come against every high thing that exalts itself against you this morning, against the knowledge of Christ, Lord. We pray, break that down in Jesus' name, Father. I thank you, Lord, for a spirit of Father that's like a child, Lord, that will come to you, Lord, completely empty, Lord, completely vulnerable, completely transparent, Lord, and innocent before you. Restore, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that years and years of impartation, Lord, that is not from you will be broken down in this moment, Lord Jesus, that your spirit will rise up over and above that, Lord, and will conquer. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for a restoration this morning, Father. The restoration of the past, what was lost, Lord, in this family, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you will turn that around to establish it in him, Lord. We thank you, Father, what he didn't receive, you will give unto him, Lord, this morning. Father, what his parents were supposed to give, Lord, and this morning we say it with respect and honor this morning, Father, what they neglected to give, Father, you will give this morning, Father. I thank you, Lord, that he will have a humble spirit, that he will have a spirit willing to submit, a spirit willing to follow, and a willing to drink what you are about to give him. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Separate him. Separate him for you, for your purpose. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are about to do something here, Lord, that you separate him as with a Paul and Gamaliel. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for that moment, Lord, of impartation that will take place here, Lord. But Father, it's for a purpose that you're imparting here, Lord, for a time and season when he's not here, Lord. I thank you, Lord, in this time and season of raising up this man, Father, that he will move with you, Father, that he will allow you to function, to move, to mold, and to form him, Lord, for the purpose bigger than himself, Lord, for a cause bigger than himself. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. He will be among the youth. He will be among his people. And Lord, we thank you, Lord. His sword, you're sharpening his sword, Lord, this morning, Father. You're saying to him he's not going to turn around, Lord. There's only one way, and it's the way forward. It's the way of following you. It's the higher call. It's the call of answering to your call, to your voice, to say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I'm completely available. Father says, I see you as clay in my hands. And Father, I thank you that you are shaping him in the tool that you have called him to be, Lord. We come against the assignment of the enemy. We break that in Jesus' name, Father. And we call this morning a family. We speak to him this morning, Father, that he will be a family man, Lord. He will be a father to the fatherless, Lord. That he will be the father to so many, Lord. That what he didn't have, Father, in his family, Father, we thank you for that as well, Lord Jesus, for restoration, restoration in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, no more of the past, Lord, no more stealing, no more of that bad, ugly stuff that's so often, Lord, in our lives, Lord, separating us from Christ. And as they're standing here, I want to give you opportunity while you're sitting there. Some of us, you need a second touch. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but You've come to that place of contentment. I see the Lord is saying, you had that first touch. You think you're okay. But this morning Christ says to you, you're not okay. Do you want to be touched again? Do you want to come to that place of realizing that you are not okay? You need a second touch. And I'm just going to ask you, if that's you, just to stand where you are. Before I'm going to finish this service, before we're going to have communion, I want to pray where you are. You are not okay is what Christ is saying this morning. All you need to do is just acknowledge and say, Lord, I am not okay. I need a second touch. I need to move closer. I've been at that place where I was content, where I felt I had enough, and that is enough for me. God, I thank you that we are not okay, that you work with us, and as we stand before you, we are not okay, Lord. Because Christ, you're busy transforming us continuously. Father, thank you as we stand all across this place this morning. Father, it's just a place of acknowledgement. acknowledging, Lord, that we need you. We need you to touch us another time. And Father, I thank you. I pray this morning supernaturally and divinely, Lord, for everybody that's just acknowledging here this morning, Lord, that we need another touch, Lord, that you will wait ahead of them, Lord. Father, that you will lead us into that place, Lord, into that place of encountering you, Lord, into that place of discomfort, Lord, into that place, Lord, where truth will collide, Lord, with the reality, Lord. The reality of our lives, the mess that we're sometimes busy with, the religion that we're busy playing, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that truth will confront that, Lord. And that, Lord, that you will show us the emptiness that we're busy with, Lord. The things that we run after, Father. If there's no sense in that, Father, I thank you that you will show us that as well, Lord. And Christ, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the one that transforms us. No words of man, Lord, not myself, nor anybody else, Lord Jesus, has the ability to change us and to mold us. And Father, that's my prayer for every one of us this morning, that we'll be that we'll continue to be shaped in your image, Christ, the hope of our glory this morning. We want to be like you, Lord Jesus. We want to follow you. We want to bring others to that same experience. That is my prayer this morning for this church, for all of us. Make us contagious Christians, Lord. Contagious children of you, Lord, that cannot keep quiet, Lord. That we'll be known for the fact that we talk so much, Lord, about you, Lord. That others will say, every time I get in their presence, they just talk about Christ and the power of Christ in their lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will not live powerless lives, Lord, but lives filled with your power and presence.